Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right. Well, welcome again to New Creation Christian Center. A couple announcements I have. First of all, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. It's a privilege and an honor not to just be a father of children, but a father that raises children. And I want to commend all the dads that are raising, hanging in there with their kids, going through the hard times, the good times, the bad times, and all the things that you go through as a father, and just rejoice that God has blessed you. The Bible says that children are a heritage from the Lord, and so we have to rejoice and be glad about what God has given us as fathers. So let's rejoice, and we thank you, fathers, for doing all that God has called you to do. It's not easy always, but it's necessary. Amen. And also, I wanted to make this announcement because this is going to be a slight change. So starting next week, we are going to go back to doing in-person services. So on June 27th and 28th, we're going to start having service on Saturday nights again at 7, and then on Sunday mornings at 11. There are going to be some changes where everybody in the congregation is going to have to wear masks, and then we have to do temperature scans and all those kinds of things and space people out as best we can. So, but we are going to be back in the building, so we rejoice in that fact. So, and we're going to keep doing the live stream. So for those that can't make it or still don't feel comfortable coming out, we will still be able to do that. Amen. So given those two announcements, let's pray, and then we will get back into walking in the Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. And we just ask that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying as we go through this message to this morning. Bless your people. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Now, last week we started talking about walking in the Spirit, and there is a part of the passage that I left out that I did not read, and I want to read that, and we're going to use it a little bit today. So let's go back to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, and just read this part. It says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear there his own load. And let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not faint, lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And so the part I wanted to look at is, if we sow to our flesh, we will reap of the flesh corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap everlasting life. And that is a continuation of the idea that we need to walk in the Spirit so that we won't reap the lusts, or we won't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Now, the thing about last week, we went through the works of the flesh, and we went through the fruit of the Spirit, and that was a comparison so that we can see the differences between the two. So tonight, this morning, we want to look at how do we walk in the Spirit? So now many times we think of things people always want to know, how can you do what the Bible says you can do, and what are we supposed to do in order to see it come to pass? I know as an athlete, there's always little things that you try to change to improve your game a little bit more. That's why they do film study. They're always looking for something that gives them another edge that helps them to play even better. If you watch enough sports, it doesn't matter what kind of a sport it is, every player has a habit of doing something. And when you watch film on that player, you pick up on their habit, or they usually refer to them as tendencies. And using their tendencies, you can predict what they're going to do. Well, the same thing is about the mechanics of walking in the Spirit. We want to know how we need to walk, but ultimately, in order to walk in the Spirit, it takes the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to constantly remind us and keep us in the vein of walking in the Spirit. So the first thing about walking in the Spirit then is we have to learn to follow the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, and let's go to John 14, 15, and 16. And we're going to stay in John for a minute and then to jump over to 1 John. So John 14, 15 says this: "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is Jesus speaking. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So here Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit is not only going to be leading us, but he's going to be indwelling us. And so it is his power, it's his direction, it's his revelation to us that enables us to walk in the Spirit. So we have to first understand that in order to walk in the Spirit, we need to be led by the Spirit. So let's go to John 15, 26 through 27, which of course is the next chapter over. And this says here, "But the helper," the same helper Jesus is sending, "comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So the Holy Spirit is coming to live in us, direct us, and to testify, or another way of saying, tell us about Jesus. And then you jump over to chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. We won't read all those, but we want to read some of them. It says this: "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?'" And it says, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, the helper, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment." And then jump down to verse 13. It says, "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me and will take of what is mine and declare it to you." So here he says the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. So walking in the Spirit is being led and guided into the truth. And let's go to one other passage, 1 John 2, 26 through 27. Of course, 1 John is written by the same person that wrote the Gospel of John, as most of you know. And it says this: These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing, now the anointing refers to the Holy Spirit, which you have received from him, abides in you. Just like Jesus said, the Spirit, is, or the Helper, is going to come and abide in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as he, it has taught you, you will abide in him. So here, and a lot of people read this and say, oh, that means I don't need a pastor. Well, if you go to Ephesians 4, and this is how we learn to rightfully divide the word. The Bible says that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the edification of the body of Christ, which means they are called to teach. So it's the Spirit that uses these teachers, these leaders, in order to instruct. But he also reveals things that even sometimes teachers don't always get or understand or reveal. So in addition to being taught the word, the Holy Spirit is also the main teacher. That's why it's so important. You know, division in the church would not exist if we allowed the Holy Spirit to be our instructor. We would put away false doctrine as the Spirit would tell us what things that we need to take in and the things that we need to take out. So the first thing is we have to follow the Holy Spirit. The second thing is we have to learn the scriptures and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal them to us. He is the teacher and he teaches us. And as he reveals or shows us, he also teaches us how to use the scripture in order to walk in the Spirit. So let's go to the passage in Matthew that where Jesus is tempted by the devil. And all of us have seen this passage and looked at it and read it many, many times. But let's just look at this carefully. It says now, chapter 4, verse 3, Matthew. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. So this is the temptation. So he's asking Jesus, who was led by the Spirit. The Bible says, if you go back to verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. You see that in verse 1? Into the wilderness to be tempted. So he's led by the Spirit. So Jesus is being led by the Spirit. And the devil right away wants to challenge that leading of the Spirit. So he says, command these stones to be made bread. And he says, Jesus, being led by the Spirit, says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And of course, this is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So Jesus, the Holy Spirit leading him, tells him, shows him what he needs to say to the enemy who is trying to get him to be led by his flesh or him. His another spirit. Then the devil said, took him high up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And we know Jesus answers in response to this, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, which is Deuteronomy 6:16. And again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve, which is Deuteronomy 10:20. So Jesus takes the word, and he, with being led by the Spirit, shows how to walk in the Spirit in the face of temptation. Now, we all know Jesus is hungry. We all know Jesus came to give his life and also become the king of the earth. And But also Satan wanted to derail his plans by trying to get him to jump off the roof of the building. So the devil's plan was to sidetrack Jesus. But Jesus' plan or will or God's will for Jesus was to walk according to his spirit. So you see, the fight is to get you just to compromise just a little bit. You know, we all hear people, well, God understands, you know, God knows that I'm a human being. And of course, God understands and he knows you're a human being. He also knows that we're going to fail. But failing is not an excuse for not doing something right. Failing is the process of our fallen nature, but it's not an excuse to stay fallen. Amen. We know we're all going to make mistakes, but that's just like going to take a test and saying, well, I'm not going to take the test because I'm not going to ever get 100% right. That's the wrong attitude. You cannot learn if your whole goal is to get 100%. But guess what? 90 to 100% is an A. Amen? You can get an A by getting 90%. You don't have to get 100%. So you have to give and you have to do the best that you can with what God has given you to do. And you have to be led by his spirit. So in this example of Jesus being tempted, we can see how in the process of being tempted, Jesus is successful in stayed in the spirit so that the lust of his flesh don't take over his life, which is what Galatians says. Walk in the spirit so that you won't fulfill the lusts of your flesh. Amen.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
So we also see in the next point, is walking in the spirit includes learning to think like God thinks, which requires us to renew our minds. And we all know Romans chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, so let's go to that. It's one of my often quoted passages. Most of us should probably have memorized this, and it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So not only does he tell us to renew our minds, the first step in the renewing of our minds is not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. Soberly means to think clearly. Don't have this puffed up vision of yourself, and therefore you can get your mind right once you understand that you're just a human being created in the image of God that God wants to use, but he doesn't put you up higher than anybody else. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of people, his persons. He's not impressed by who you think you are, but he can make you greater than you've ever thought you could be. Amen. So we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And I'm going to spend a few minutes on these scriptures that talk about the renewing of the mind. Because, see, walking in the Spirit first takes the understanding of what the Spirit is. We need to know what the Spirit is in order to walk in the Spirit. So it says in verse 23, Ephesians chapter 4, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So renewing your mind is putting on righteousness, not just in your character, not just in the things you do, but it's in the things you think. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so in his heart, so is he. And Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he also says, out of the heart comes all sorts of evil things. So if we, as we think of the mind as the controller of the things that we think, it cleans out the garbage in our life and then causes us to do those things that God wants us to do in the spirit. So we have to get our minds changed. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:10, verse 4-6. And then we're going to go to some Old Testament passages. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 6 says this, and most of us even know this passage. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and the old King James says imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So the weapons, well, what's the weapon? The weapon is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the one that causes our mind to be renewed. It causes us to think the way God wants us to think. It causes us to put aside the things that are not like God. Part of the problem in the church, or even for those, well, outside the church, it's a different standard. They don't really even know what God thinks or what God wants. But part of the problem in the church is that we do not take on the thought life of God. And you might say, oh, Pastor, that's a lofty statement. Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. He says it, not me. And most of us know this passage, I know, if you've read the Bible at all. It says, 55 verse 7 and 9 through 9, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He says, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So that's what he tells the wicked. And then he says this, for my thoughts, lost my spot here, sorry. The Lord who it turned the page on me, sorry about that. Says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we don't have God's thoughts as unrighteous people, but then he tells us to renew our minds so that we can learn to think like he thinks. Now, you might say, well, how is it possible to think like God thinks? Because God knows everything. Well, we don't obtain the ability to know everything, so let's clarify that. But to think like God thinks means to understand what the Word of God has revealed to us, that we fill our minds with that truth, and that truth is the thing that governs the things that we do in our lives. And because the Holy Spirit is the teacher of truth, he teaches us how to discern and how to rightly divide and how to use the Word of God so that we can have a mind that is consistent with what God would have us have think about. And this is a process that takes, of course, a lifetime, but many Christians don't take their walk with God that far. We always talk about going to heaven, but God doesn't just want you to go to heaven. He wants you to renew your mind so that when you're on earth, you think, not only you think right, but you act right. See, you can't act right if you don't know what is right. And many Christians are confused about what is right and what is wrong. The scripture tells us what's right and what is wrong. And it's not confusing at all. There are some things that the Bible doesn't specifically speak towards, but there's a very few of those things that we may not understand, but the Bible is clear about the major things. And so we have to learn to allow the Spirit of God to renew our minds so that we can think the way God wants us to think. Maybe that's a better way. Most people get scared when you say, I want to think the thoughts of God. Who's, oh, I don't want to do that because I can't do that. Well, he wants you to think the right way. Let's go to a couple last passages and then we'll close and we'll pick up the rest of this next week. Let's go to Psalms chapter 10, verse 3, I believe it is. Verse 4, excuse me. Psalms 10, verse 4 says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. So notice he says the wicked. So the question is, as a believer, is God in your thoughts? Are you thinking about the things of God in your life? And then the last passage, and then we'll close. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. It says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. So this is one passage that tells you how to renew your mind. You commit your works or your ways to God, and he will establish your thoughts. Isn't that amazing? So it's about surrendering. If you surrender what you have to God, he will teach you how to think right according to his will and his plan for your life. Amen? All right, well, we'll stop here today, and we'll just pick up with this next week. So remember, we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to allow the Spirit of God to lead us. We want to stop being ahead, and we want to follow. Then we want the Spirit of God to teach us the Word of God and to teach us how to use the Word of God. And then thirdly, we want to renew our mind so that we think the way that God wants us to think. And as a result of thinking the way God wants us to think, we act and live the way God wants us to act and live. Amen?
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.